Daleen Braze reporting for duty. Fasten your seatbelts and hold on to your non-GMO carrots. You're about to enter Daleen Braze Throwdown Zone, accelerating for the simple solutions. We are Avengers of Help. Hide the donuts. You're listening to Daleen Braze Radio Show at DaleenBraze.com. Welcome, Braze. I'm Ron Jones with Kevin Rail and Greg Hottinger from the Lean Braze. And we've got a special show today, getting into the food supply, GM, OMG, or as we'll call it today, genetically modified. Oh my God. So we want to welcome Greg to our show, Kevin. He's coming to us from Boulder, Colorado, right, Greg?
That's correct, Ron. Hello?
Yeah. We had your business partner, Michael, on last week, and he's the exercise physiologist for your Novo Wellness website, and you guys got a lot going on. Your book just came out. I want to read just a little blurb about Greg. So he's a nutritionist, registered dietitian, a master's degree in public health, accredited by American Dietetic Association, and he's worked at Duke University in the Diet and Fitness Center. He's a nutrition consultant for Rodale Press and a lead nutrition expert for the Biggest Loser Club. And he's contributed numerous websites, including French Women Don't Get Fat, The Flat Belly Diet. He's a licensed wellness coach like Kevin and I, and a faculty member with Well Coaches Incorporated. And he's the co-author with Michael of the new book, Coach Yourself Thin. So thanks so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Ron. Thanks, Kevin.
And Kevin and I have been talking about genetically modified foods for a while, and it's been something that I need more clarification on, and I'm looking forward to the show today and taking a little bit of a back seat as you guys dig into some of the details about how very large companies are getting in and modifying the seeds that they're using to grow food. And I think Kevin had a great point before the show, Greg, and he basically said this is like roid rage for plants. You know, if you think a roid rage, you know, what that does to the human body in powerlifting and athletics, it's pretty scary that we're eating that kind of stuff. So, Kevin, I'm going to let you take the lead with Greg, and I'm just going to sit back here and let you guys roll.
All right, cool. Well, first I'd like to expand a little bit more on the point Ron said about the steroid thing. It just kind of clarity hit me all of a sudden, and I am hugely against steroids as a fitness professional. Now, there's a ton of different supplements and stuff out there on the market and fine and dandy, but when it comes to steroids, it's basically altering your body's natural ability to do things. Testosterone, growth hormone, all those kind of things. And it makes you monstrously huge, fast. It makes your muscles look good. It makes veins pop out in your neck, and you can impress chicks when you take your shirt off and stroll down the beach in the summer. But the underlying fact is it's kind of like cheating in my book. And it gives you like this burst of magical powers or something like that, and it's like a super magic pill. Well, in similar fashion to that, genetically modifying, I, you know, kind of think it's the same kind of route. These are like spliced with these bacteria or viruses from foreign organisms or other plants or something like that. And sometimes it's even from like an animal or something, and you don't know. You don't know where it comes from. It could be like some kind of foreign bacteria. And it makes the plant grow faster. It gives it more voluptuous look to it. It makes it resistant to pests. It makes it resistant to drought. And it offers like a faster yield. Makes it grow faster, makes it look better all around. And that's completely going against Mother Nature. So that's where I got the big red flag right there. And as, to my knowledge, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, but has there been like zero studies done on the effects of this on humans? It's just like they decided to invent it one day and say, oh, we can create like mass amounts of crop and help world hunger and all these other things, and we're just going to send it out there. And we'll use America as a launching point. Because I know personally that there's a lot of countries that have banned GMOs. I believe the UK is one of them. I want to say Australia, I think Canada, and I think there's a couple more. And Greg, you could probably expand a little bit more on that, but what's your take on that whole spiel?
Well, Kevin, you know, there's a lot of red flags, and that's the real problem with GMOs today, is that it's not just one issue. You know, you mentioned that the yield was something that we were sold on GMOs in terms of the government with the idea that we're going to solve the world hunger problems. And the USDA has recently come out and said that GMOs do not, in fact, increase the yield. So that was like a fundamental platform for GMOs. And if you really take a step back, you're right. There haven't been hardly any human studies done. And there have been quite a few animal studies, but a lot of the findings are concerning to the point that science groups or certain groups are saying, you know, we need a lot more time to look at this before we can put it out there for public consumption.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think it's gotten to the point where it's gotten too far for them to backtrack all of a sudden, because I think they've become so wealthy off of this that they're not going to step back and say, oh, maybe we need to take a step back and take GMOs out of the food supply for a couple of years and do extensive studies, because there's too much at risk for them as far as losing money, because they know deep down in their heart and their black souls that it's absolutely horrendous for the body. That's my take on it.
Yeah, but you guys, you're disregarding the trust of the U.S. American government that says that GMOs are generally regarded as safe. Would you like to expand on that generally regarded part, Kevin?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the government has this, I guess the U.S. government has this categorization system, which they call GRAS, G-R-A-S. That's an acronym for generally regarded as safe. And I'm only giving you, I'm trying to keep this in grade two mentality in case you people should happen to read about this or hear about it on the news. So automatically you're led to believe that anything that has this GRAS symbol next to it or on it, or they talk about it, allegedly it's good for you and safe and it's not going to cause any harm in the body. But they call it generally regarded as safe. That sounds like a very uneducated classification that was someone just made up in grade school and said, let's just call this, I'm not quite sure if this is excellent for you, so let's just say it's generally regarded as safe. And we'll just put it on the market and say the hell with it. That's a very, very broad term. And
that's right.
I don't want to touch anything that's generally regarded as safe, to be honest with you. A baby tiger might be generally regarded as safe, too. And if there's a chunk of meat next to him, I'm not going to pet him because he's probably going to rip my arm off the elbow.
Go for it, Greg. What do you got on that?
Well, I was just going to say, this is a classic example of shoot first and then ask questions later. You know, basically, hydrogenated oils were GRAS back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And they put those out there. These are laboratory concoctions. And you put it out there, and you do, you know, limited trials, limited studies, and then guess what? 15, 20 years later, there's major problems, major health risks associated with hydrogenated oils. Now, the difference here is GMOs can cross-contaminate and actually contaminate the organic and local food systems. So that's one of the major concerns. It's not like, as Kevin was saying, you can just sort of take it off the market.
Mm-hmm.
It's already in the system.
Right. And, you know, I was back in Pennsylvania doing some events with Kevin, and Barry Kaplan, the owner of Everything Natural, made an interesting comment in front of the audience when we showed the Vanishing of the Bees documentary. He said, you know, we're all of us, even if you're eating all organic food, you're eating some amount of GMO. I mean, it's like Greg said, it's in the system, and this is really scary. I mean, the people eating processed foods, I mean, I was reading some show notes, and maybe up to 80% of their food is GMO tainted. But even if you're eating organic, it's in the system. We've been contaminated.
That's a great point, Ron. It's, you know, it's about choice, and we don't have choice right now. As Kevin has, as we've discussed offline, that, you know, you look at like corn, how many byproducts of corn, including high fructose corn syrup, but just a long list of products from corn, and right now, I think basically what 85% of the corn, 86% of all corn grown in the U.S. right now has been genetically modified. So if you're not buying organic corn, it has to be labeled organic corn, and then that's the only way you can avoid the GMOs at this point. And as you know, corn is in a lot of products.
Oh, it's...
Exactly. It doesn't just go by corn chips, you know, canned corn, your obvious corn things. I mean, there are a lot of products. Nutrition bars, cereals, breads, the list goes on and on. They might have corn flour, corn oil, any kind of derivative of corn. And that's only the tip of the iceberg.
Well,
corn isn't just the only one. That's the most guilty perpetrator, but there are more too.
We had a sub point today about high fructose corn syrup, right? So we don't want to get too far into that because that's a whole show in and of itself. However, that craps in just about everything, especially if you're eating processed. So this is the problem. It's very tainting to our food supply in general. But just to kind of step back, because one of the things that I do, Greg, in the show is I kind of keep qualifying things and teasing out the main points. So, you know, we've got these GMO seeds. They're modifying these seeds to make the seeds grow into plants that are more resistant to the Roundup pesticide and herbicide and all that kind of stuff, right? But as Kevin pointed out before the show, these seeds are bathed in chemicals their whole life as they grow up through the life cycle. So we're eating these GMO-modified seeds that are raised with chemicals in every single cell in their being, okay? And it's creating some issues. Now, some of the dangers, according to the show notes here, possible side effects, you know, liver damage, nervous system malfunction, infertility, birth defects, compromised immunity, allergies, and cancer. No great studies to show what's really going to happen. But I just, my man in the street observation here, you guys, I'm looking around like, you know, I'm over 50 years old. I've never seen an unhealthier America in my life, you know. So,
case in point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and a lot of this, I think, you know, we've talked before on the shows about how about 80% of our health is what we eat. I'd love to do it all with fitness, but, you know, you cannot run a donut. So, you know, people, and that's why, you know, we're excited to have Greg on the show today, you know, because he's a registered dietitian. He can bring some of that clinical side to the front here.
Yeah, and speaking of which, I got a quick question. What kind of, Greg, you've got to be up on, I mean, I'm sure being that you're on the clinical end, I'm sure you encounter people just like you that are on the clinical end. What are other dietitians, nutritionists, experts, scientists, et cetera, saying about this kind of stuff? Are they saying anything? Do they talk about organic and stuff? Because I can tell you right now, nutrition has always been my passion. I mean, I'm a fitness guru, but nutrition has always been my passion. And the main reason I did not go to school to become a nutritionist or dietitian is point blank because I don't feel they had adequately gone down the path of organics and GMOs and all these other things, because I questioned that over and over and over again. And it seemed to me that the average dietitian, I'm not putting you into this lump, but the average one, the average nutritionist kind of just swept that under the rug. They acknowledged it and they said, there's no difference and let's forget about it. Almost like they're hiding. What's your take on that?
Well, it's a good point, Kevin. I mean, you know, if you look at the move in the last 50 or 60 years post-World War II, that's where, you know, America dove into the processed food world, and these large companies, you know, took their position. And as Ron said, you know, we have systemic problems that are way beyond GMOs, and a lot of people are waking up to it and starting to see that all that processed food, you know, basically is not healthy. And, you know, the professional organizations out there have been influenced greatly, just as our political leaders are influenced by the money, by the influence and the donations of these companies. And, you know, the research is starting to really come around. It, you know, back in when I was in school in the 90s, there wasn't a whole lot of research to really nail trans fats. And,
right.
And the organic research was just starting to come in. But, you know, one thing I am seeing is it is shifting. Science is showing that organic foods are healthier on many different levels, right?
Right.
But I do hear your frustration. You know, I do hear your frustration. And I think right now, I think a lot of professionals have their hands up in the air on the GMO issue. But I can tell you this, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, they've released a policy where they're urging all doctors to prescribe non-GMO diets. So we're starting to see professional organizations, you know, looking at the science, looking at some of the issues we're talking about today, and saying, you know what, this is risky. This is risky stuff here. Let's not jump the gun. You know, let's back off. Let's give people a choice by putting a label on GMO foods. That's all really we're asking for right now. And I don't know how many people out there know how Monsanto, which basically owns 95% of GMO intellectual property right now, there's a very incestuous relationship with Monsanto leaders and the White House and the government. Basically, there's been a lot of overlap. They go back and forth. And so you can see that it's really an unhealthy dynamic. And that's one of the pushes right now. Kevin, have you seen that, the push to Obama?
Absolutely. And yeah, I know. I've seen that. I've circulated on Facebook. And I encourage you all to do the same. And what Greg, I'm going to expand a little more on what he's saying. There's this huge push right now. This is starting to become common knowledge, which is I'm actually thrilled about. I can't say enough about it, that people are starting to catch on to the whole GMO scuttlebutt. It's almost on, like, national news now about people wanting to know, they want labels on the foods themselves saying this is a GMO food or this is not a GMO food. And the whole lobbying situation is going on back and forth in government right now to stop that from happening because, again, they're trying to take our choice away from us. They don't want us to have the choice of we don't want to take this GMO product, we want this non-GMO product instead. They want to take that from you people that are listening right now, and that just pisses me off to no extent.
You know,
and you can do what you can to get a hold of your local governors and stuff like that to get a law passed to get GMO labels on foods. It's really simple. You know, they've lobbied to put warnings on cigarette packs years ago because, oh, my God, cigarettes cause lung cancer. Great. Well, guess what? They put the labels on, and that's fantastic. Now let's do the same for food. I think all of our food should be labeled.
Yeah,
food has trans fat in it. This one has GM in it. This one has high fructose corn syrup. This one has aspartame. Case closed. End of story. Close the book.
You guys have mentioned this a couple times. You know, a choice, right? So one of the things I got from I went up to Kingsburg, California. Greg, Kevin knows this. I visited Vernon Peterson of Abundant Harvest, and Abundant Harvest is a large organic farming operation in Central California that basically ships baskets of organic food up and down the whole state. And he was really nice, took me on a tour of the packing operations. We went all over the farm and into the chicken house and all that, and we were talking about conventional versus organic. And he had a really good point of wisdom for me. He goes, people just need a choice. They need to make an educated decision based on the labeling, and then they can do what they want to do. And he didn't get all off on the politics. He just said, you know, people just need a choice. They need to know, you know, what's in their food. And I thought that was really, really simple, and it really got me thinking, you know?
It's true. Studies show that 53% of Americans say they would avoid GMOs if they were labeled.
Really? Wow.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
Exactly. And that's what the government sees. They're like, oh, my God, we got to make sure we can't have labels on the products. Then if that's the case, all of a sudden, Monsanto goes bankrupt. That's the overall Lean Beret mission in my book, by the way.
So one of the things we talked about before the show is how I looked at this, because I'm probably the least educated on this in the three of us here. Is I kind of looked at this in two ways. There's a physical component to this and an ethical component. And the ethical thing is, you know, what's it doing to our planet and, you know, all this stuff. But I wanted to keep it a little more physical today. For most people, I think they could grasp that. And the thing of it is, like, if we're modifying these seeds so we can use less chemicals, but what I'm reading is that we've developed these super weeds now that are more resistant to chemicals, and so now we're using some really radical chemicals, and some of the other ones that are up for approval are pretty scary. One of them is related to Agent Orange, you know. So, I mean, that's the point I want to make to everybody listening today. It's like, well, what the hell is GMO about? Why should I worry about it? You know, it's just a nice-looking, you know, ear of corn. Well, you know, there's a lot of chemicals in that corn. And we can talk about the ethical part of it later, but basically, you know, it's not a healthy thing to be eating.
No, absolutely. And like you said, the whole pest control thing and the drought control thing and all that kind of stuff, I think it's only a Band-Aid anyway. I think it's only a matter of time before the effects of that wear off. And then the pests will find their way in, and then what happens? It's just like when you're on medication. You take some kind of drug for like 3 years, it starts having less and less of an effect on your body because you adapt to it. Then what's the doctor do? He gets this genius idea and says, oh, let me up the dosage. So then you pound your system and your kidneys and your liver and everything else for another couple of years, and it stops working again because your body adapts. That's what happens. Well, let me give you this drug we just invented because it's even stronger. great. You take this drug that's even stronger, and then your liver and kidneys get weakened and damaged even more and more and more. And that process keeps repeating for another 5 to 10 years as your body starts getting more and more sick and more weak. And until the part where you're ready, you either wish you were dead or you're going to be dead soon.
You know,
the same thing with the crop stuff right here.
I think looking at all this, looking at all this, just simplifying it, you know, nature always wins, you know?
Yeah.
Ultimately, if we're stupid enough to be messing with it, we'll end up exterminating ourselves, and then nature will do what it wants to do, you know? So,
That's a good point, Ron. I mean, if you look at, like, the Chinese, they farmed the same land for 5,000 years using organic practices. Like, it's a proven method where you can actually use the same soil for over that long length of time. And I think one takeaway today is that GMOs, they're not about avoiding pesticides. In fact, studies are showing that the U.S. is using 26% more pesticides per acre on GM crops than non-GMO crops. So these are designed to go along with Roundup Ready, you know, which is one of Monsanto's chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're pointing out, the plants are adapting. We're starting to see super weeds to the point where, as Kevin's point, we're having to increase the amounts of chemicals that we're using. You can see that this isn't going to end up in a good place.
Right, and we're getting more into that institutional farming, you know, where we have these monoculture farms, which are just completely unnatural in nature. You're not going to see, you know, 100,000 acres of the same thing anywhere in nature if you just leave nature alone, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's
right.
The point you made.
It creates all kinds of problems with bugs. One of the things we want to touch on today in our show notes, you guys, is the animals, because they're being fed GMO seed. And Kevin, you want to take off on that a little bit? Because we'll get back into what we started with, which is we've got a tainted food supply. So can you tie that in for everybody?
Absolutely. I would love to. So if you think you're safe by eating lean beef or lean chicken breast, you're not even close. You're far, far from it. Let me warn you right ahead of time. It's really simple. A conventionally raised animal is being fed conventionally raised feed, which is basically like bits and pellets of grain and stuff like that that has been raised with genetically modified seeds and plants. So the animal eats it, and again, we go back to the theory of you can't wash off a tainted, you know, piece of ear of corn or apple or something like that that is brought from a GMO seed. The animals are the same way. They eat the stuff. It goes through their whole body. They live their whole life doing this. Then they get slaughtered, it goes to market, and then you eat the meat. So, first of all, the animal is always being shot up with hormones and antibiotics, which, if you guys have listened to us in the past, you know I'm strongly against that crap right there. Then you get the double whammy of them eating the GMO feed. So it's like regular conventional meat is just not safe any way, shape, or form you look at it. And that goes for all of the derivatives of that meat as well. Anything that comes from a cow, anything that comes from a chicken, eggs, cheese, beef, pork, lunch meat, sausage, it all is included in that, and it's that simple. I think that's pretty great, too, mentality. So, Greg, would you like to expand on that anymore? Am I missing something?
Well, I think you're touching on a really key point here is that, you know, since soy and corn are heavily modified, I think soy, 93% of all soy today is GMO. Soy and corn and just recently alfalfa is going to be planted in the spring of here that's genetically modified. Well, these are food substrates, right? And so, again, you know, I'm not intending to scare people in an unjustified kind of way, but I certainly feel like with the GMO issue, we just don't really know what these risks are, and particularly how there's just been a lot of questionable research with animals about how consuming GMO foods alters their cell structure. And so, as you're pointing out, it's just getting harder and harder to really be able to make that choice, Ron, that you were just talking about, just that have a label, and this is, I know what I'm getting, I'm willing to pay more for it. And I think what's going to happen through all this is certainly for those of us who are mostly concerned is seeking out more local, you know, really trying to, and even there, it's tricky if you get into cross contamination with GMOs, right?
Yeah, people are going to go back to gardening in their backyard. I want to mention the most effective foods, because, you know, we always try to simplify in the Lean Brace. And one of the things you can do right now today is stop eating maybe some of these foods, because these are the most effective foods according to our initial research here. Corn, which we talked about, soy, we've mentioned, but also canola, peas, and potatoes. So Kevin and I had a conversation with some other cats here a couple weeks ago about soy. And, you know, I stopped consuming those soy products a couple years ago after hanging out with Kevin and listening to some of this, the corn as well. But I just found out about the canola. I didn't realize it was so GMO contaminated until Kevin pointed that out a couple months ago. And I went into the cupboard, and sure enough, that's the kind of oil I had up there, you know. So we can make a change in oil, too. And then I didn't know about the peas and potatoes until this morning going over all the show notes. Now, just to make a little sub-point here, Kevin, the canola oil goes to the firing squad. What's the healthiest oils that we don't have to worry about the GMO contamination, organic, healthy oils?
Well, I can't sit here and say this is the healthiest oil, because I feel there's several that are healthy, some of which you may not have heard of, some you may have. Coconut oil, definitely. Olive oil is a good one. Some people will debate me on that, but I feel it's good. Macadamia nut oil is a good one. And what's that other one that I sometimes use? Well, I absolutely love hemp oil. Mm-hmm. Hemp oil is probably my favorite oil on the whole planet. But you can't cook with it. I use it on salads. I just eat it. I put it on steamed vegetables and so on and so forth.
Okay.
But those are just a few options you can select. What about you, Greg? What's some of your favorites? What's your take on the oil thing?
Well, you know, I try to take as much of my oil in the food. So avocado, you know, unsalted, healthy nuts kind of thing. But yeah, I think good quality virgin coconut oil, some of that in the diet is important. I use extra virgin olive oil. I think it's a good oil. You know, other than that, I try to keep it pretty low. Sometimes, you know, I've used grapeseed oil as a higher smoke point kind of thing.
That's right. I've got one.
But some of the monounsaturated, you talk about macadamia, you can get into some of those oils as well. But mostly, even a little bit of butter in the right situation, if it's organic, that's going to be key. But I did have a thought about Ron backing up with the foods that you're saying. I think that's really smart. It's just to look at, okay, if I just focus on buying organic varieties of corn and soybean, mm-hmm. and make my oils smarter. You know, and this is Super Bowl weekend coming up, so
yeah,
corn chips.
Mm-hmm.
There's you can start this weekend. Make sure the corn chips you buy are organic. If 93% of the corn is GMO today, then you know Frito-Lay's corn chips are genetically modified.
That's a good point. And you know, we're mentioning this just to give people a starting point. You know, what can you do today to trim out some of this GMO, and you know, I don't eat a lot of corn on the cob, but when I do, I'm not going to eat conventional. I'll tell you that right now. I dump the soy products, you know, and I'm changing the oil that I'm using for cooking, based on Kevin's feedback a couple months ago. So we can do something right now. You know, when Kevin led a bunch of corporate clients out here in California through Whole Foods last year for me, Greg. You know, he said, you know, if the one thing you can do, the most polluted food in here that you're probably consuming is coffee. So if you're going to do one thing, go to organic coffee. I immediately made that change.
I remember I told you that.
And so that's what we're trying to do, is like give people a little kickstart here and get it on their radar screen so they can start making a few choices. But when I mentioned the Dirty Dozen, according to the Environmental Working Group, these 12 foods have the highest levels of pesticide residue. Remember, GMO foods are getting doused with a lot of pesticides. Don't be fooled by the propaganda. These are the most polluted ones. Apples, celery, strawberries. A lot of strawberries out here in California where I'm at. They gas the crap out of those things. Peaches, spinach, nectarines, grapes, all types of sweet bell peppers, potatoes, blueberries, lettuce, and kale, which I didn't know the kale was on the list, Kevin.
Yeah, that's staggering and shocking. Apples are one of my favorite fruits,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very strict. I don't even like, honestly, to touch conventional apples. They just, like, feel slimy and squirmy, and they're always, like,
They don't taste good.
Colored, like a film on them. It's just nasty.
They're unnatural. There's just something. My body, from a gut level, visceral, like intuition, I can tell there's something wrong with that apple. It's just not natural.
Hey, Ron.
Yeah, and it's just
go ahead, Greg.
One of the problems with apples is that most have been in storage for over a year. So a lot of conventional apples they can store them for over a year. So you already have like sort of an old apple to begin with. That's when you get those, you know, those ones that just don't have the, you know, it's not like that fresh, crisp tasting organic apple that you love. I did want to say something about this list.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wrote a book in 2004 called Best Natural Foods on the Market. And at that time, the Environmental Working Group had just put this Dirty Dozen list out. And it's changed a little since then. And just for listeners out there, this is based on extensive research of samples that they've taken, the USDA has taken, and looking at residue levels. It's mm-hmm. not just this group just came up with this list. It's based on a lot of data. And here's the takeaway. They found that you can reduce your exposure to pesticides by 90% from fruits and vegetables just by replacing the Dirty Dozen with the organic. Like if you just took the top 12, apples, celery, strawberries, peaches, spinach, nectarines that are imported, imported grapes, sweet bell peppers, potatoes, domestic blueberries, lettuce, kale collards, just those 12 said, you know what, I'm going to make these organic, you know, as much as possible. You're going to significantly reduce your pesticide exposure.
That's just a huge point.
I mean,
we need to really drive on that in future shows. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we want people to shift towards, you know, that there's not a lot of behavioral change there to do that this week. I mean, a little bit, you know, but it's you can do that. You know, you can empower yourselves and your family and really make a significant difference.
Yeah, it's the smallest thing you can do. And to those of you that may be shocked or in fear of the price difference between an organic apple and a regular apple, for example, yes, it's true, the organic apple is going to be a little more pricey. But I always use this saying with people that are looking to go organic and that have a problem with the price. I say, you're going to pay a little bit more now for your food, or you're going to pay a hell of a lot more down the road when you got to visit the doctor more times than you want to.
Right. It's not the immediate cost of the food. It's the long-term health care cost, and you have to factor that in. You know, you really do. But
yeah.
Go ahead, Kevin.
It's about like a lifestyle change. You know, it's like the one item a week thing is a great strategy to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And being that the Super Bowl weekend is this week, that was a very good point about going with organic corn chips instead. Burritos are my favorite, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
There's some good options out there. And this kind of brings us into the final point, you know, I wanted to make, unless you guys have something else, but there are a lot of sharks in the water in the healthcare business. And some of those biggest sharks are getting into organics. And so we've got a nice natural thing that seems to be helping people, and we can debate about the nutritional content per gram of organic versus conventional, but, you know, I like Kevin's approach, Greg, which is, hey, I don't want to eat all the chemicals, you know. If it's got more nutritional value, that's cool, but I just don't want to eat the chemicals, right? But now these grassroots organic companies are being swallowed up by these large conglomerates that are, you know, more into the industrial-type farming. And I want you guys to make a couple comments on that because it's just something we need to pay attention to as things, you know, keep progressing here.
Yeah, I'll take the lead on that, Ron, if you want. You know, it's true. It's these companies which were so popular, you know, in the 80s, starting out in the 90s, and they got to the point where there was just so much money in organics that the larger companies started to buy them up. And pretty extensive. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of, when I wrote my book, I talked to a lot of people that were with these smaller companies. And a lot of them, at this point, feel like they have pretty good autonomy. You know, they're still able to run their company, you know, the way that they had been previously. However, there's a lot of pressure now. And I think we're going to see, you know, I think we've talked about in the past, Horizon Organic.
Right.
You know, that was a label that I wrote about, and they've been bought out by Dean Foods, and they you know, they have feedlots now with 5,000 plus head of cattle. So it's really very similar. Even though they're organic by label, their practices are not embracing the spirit of organic. And I think moving forward, we're going to see a lot of pressure put on, and not only the buyouts kind of thing, but there's going to be more and more pressure put on the organic standard itself, because, let's face it, people pay more for organic. And as a producer, there's pressure there to try to lower your costs. And that's what we've seen with food across the board in the last 50 years. And so I'm right now, I think organic food is still pretty solid, but I'm worried about it.
Yeah, and I think we need to pay attention to this whole labeling thing, because, you know, man, there's just a lot of deceit out there, you know, and some of the worst of it's with our own government. So it's just something to keep our antenna up on and pay attention to that as it's developing. But we do have, you know, one of the things we like to do, Greg, is provide some nice positive options. We've talked about a few of those things. We'll send people to the firing squad or groups as needed, as you well know. However, there are some healthy companies out there, and Kevin's pretty good at snooping them out, and there's no dupage when he makes a recommendation. So, Kevin, can you rattle off a few of those companies that we feel at this time are doing a pretty good job with the safety of food?
I gladly will. And if any of these companies should happen to sell out anytime in the near future, I will immediately move them off the list and take them to the firing squad and deal with them accordingly. But as of today, February 3rd, 2012, these are safe companies. Energy Foods, which I might add is also a gluten-free company, which I'm on board with that. Arrowhead Mills, West Soy, Eden, Nativa, or Nutiva, depending on how your pronunciation rolls. Organic Valley, which is one of my favorites. Nature's Pass, Barbara's, Alvarado Street, and Grimway Farms.
You know, Grimway
Farms. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, Grimway Farms is right outside of Bakersfield. And
that's what I thought.
We're going to do maybe some organic
food
farm tours out there, but
that'd be nice.
One of the biggest farming operations in the world, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. I've done some background research on that. Very cool.
All right. So, you know, just to kind of.
I have one more thing I'd like to add, if I could.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to the support the local dudes again.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. Greg made a point before that you can't always trust the local dudes as well. But what you can do is, literally, you can empirically drive to some of these farms, and if they have nothing to hide and there's no BS going on,
right?
They welcome people to come in. They often do tours even. There's a couple places in a couple hours south here in Pennsylvania with me that have like organic chicken farms and stuff, and they have tours. You can go down there and you can check out the way they make their. They have raw organic milk too, and dairy, and they can let you come in there and you can watch what's going on all day long. But if you go local, that's probably your safest bet as far as knowing you're getting 100% pure goods. Even Horizon, Greg was talking about that a little bit before, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely sketchy in my book. I haven't bought a Horizon product in over 3 years, and I probably won't do it ever again. Just
wow.
Because
interesting.
When I'm driving across country and I stop in a convenient mart and I see a Horizon yogurt on the counter,
mm-hmm.
in the cooler,
mm-hmm.
I'm skeptical immediately. If I see anything in a conventional grocery store just like blended in with everything else, and it's from a company that I once recognized as one of the good guys, such as Horizon,
mm-hmm.
I stay away from it because something shady is going on there. I'm not down with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are a couple of points you can look for. And I also have one more point I'd like to make. When you're looking for an organic product, let's use a nutrition bar, for example, make sure, don't just look at the front of the package that says made with organic ingredients, because you may just grab and say, great, and go out the door. But always look in your ingredient label. Read the fine print, because it may have organic cane sugar, organic oats, organic crushed walnuts. And then the next ingredient might just say corn. And then the next ingredient will be organic, 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 all the way through. Make sure every single ingredient says organic, or it's not 100% organic. It's a lie.
And this is why we need that non-GMO labeling. You know that if you see that symbol or label, you can trust. Hopefully, the government is going to regulate this properly. That there is no GMO contamination in that product. So I think moving forward, that's what we need to kind of push for. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And there actually are some products out there that do label non-GMO products, and you'll see it as a circle with a large initials GMO and a line through it, or it'll have this little seal that says verified non-GMO. That's correct, right, Greg? I'm missing something
there. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You got any closing points, Greg?
I do. I just want to tell listeners, Environmental Working Group, that's the Dirty Dozen list. It's EWG.org. You go there, you'll see the whole list. And there's also the clean list, the ones that have the least pesticides that are conventional.
Mm-hmm.
My closing thought is I'm going to work to spend even more money this year locally, local farmers markets, seeking out local eggs, looking for connecting with some of the local farmers here, because basically that's the future. We're going to sort of reclaim this quality standards, because as I pointed out, USDA standards, in another decade or another 5 years may not be quite what they are today. So the only way to really ensure that we're moving in the right direction, I think, is to support local.
Right on, man. I agree with you.
Good closing points, guys, and we're going to wrap the show up, and I just want to thank you again, Greg, for coming on the Lean Berets, and I'd like to do more with you, especially as a registered dietitian. It was very valuable to have that input and some little clinical insight. And people can find you on the Novo Wellness website. That's NOVOwellness.com. You and Michael Schultz, your business partner there, providing wellness services and good content, a couple of books out, and probably many more things to come out that people can trust and used to improve their health and wellness.
Yeah, if you want to follow us, you can come over to our Facebook page,
cool,
Novo Wellness, and or like us there, and you'll get our updates.
Yeah, and we've got a page in Lean Berets built for you guys, so we'll shoot as many people over there as we can get, because we know you're part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Awesome.
All right, thanks guys for coming on. Hang on a minute, and we'll chat a little bit after the show.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Lean Berets radio show at theleanberets.com. Music today provided by Uncle Ted. Until next time, keep your foot in the accelerator for health and rock on GMO-free.